This is the Drive and Dish Podcast. Talking about NBA news, stats, and fantasy. To start it off, it's Tim Tompkins.
And like PJ Tucker's a player that you can put on Kyrie Irving. You can also put him on Kevin Love, and you can also put him on LeBron James. Like, that kind of player defensively is incredibly valuable.
Kevin Rayfuse.
Be good, but I don't want to be stuck in the limbo of mediocrity. I don't want to gamble that maybe one day there's a Harden trade out there. I don't want to gamble that some team is going to be stupid and let a Steve Nash walk out the door and go to Phoenix the way Dallas did, where you stumble upon a superstar.
And Justin Kuzak.
A lot of the times, from my understanding, is close games are won by the coach calling those inbound plays and drawing up a quick sideline play for him.
Well, if you like that, you're going to love this.
Well, if anything, this is the point where we all sit there and get real excited.
Let's do this!
Let's go.
Last week, when we recorded the last episode of the Drive and Dish NBA podcast, it was maybe an hour or two before we lost a musical legend, Prince.
Right.
Prince passed away at his home. Still not really sure of what exactly. There's all sorts of reports out there. We're not going to speculate on that.
Did you know Prince was supposed to be on the song Bad with Michael Jackson, but he said no because the first line was, "Your butt is mine."
I didn't know that's why he said no, but I did know that he was supposed to.
Yeah, he said that line didn't sit well with him. Prince was a very specific dude. He was very particular. Apparently, he was very giving. Like, another story that I was reading, because once he passed away, a bunch of stories were coming out and all these things. A story came out that one of his music producers, it was his birthday, so he bought out an entire movie theater so that they could watch a movie. And Prince said, "All you guys can sit right here. I'm going to sit behind you." But his rule was, if you look back at me, you are kicked out, which is such a random thing.
It's hysterical. There's all sorts of, like, I mean, he always was taking on the music industry and doing other things. But, you know, Justin and I, we paid our respects to Prince last week.
The dude's a legend.
You got to give it up for a legend. It was a sad day for the music world. And Tim, on the other hand, had a bit of a different reaction to Prince's death. And let's just say Tim's mentions have been, as the kids say these days, lit recently.
My opinion wasn't about Prince himself as much as what I was trying to get across was a philosophical debate on pop music in general.
I'm staying away from this because I also don't agree with that.
And that's fine. I was wrong. the thing is, I was wrong. So my opinion on pop music and what pop music has meant to me growing up listening to different kinds of pop music is different than it's been for other people. And that's what makes music so great, is the fact that different music touches different people. And I actually had a discussion because, like Kevin mentioned, my mentions on Twitter, and we got an email from the Drive and Dish podcast.
Oh, we got an email?
Yeah, I didn't bring that up.
Was it bad?
It wasn't good.
Oh.
We're blowing up. So I was having a discussion with somebody else the other day. He's a little bit older. He's an older guy, probably mid-40s, mid-50s maybe. And he was saying it's not so much that they're identifying with the pop music as they identify with the memory of what happened when that song was playing.
Right, and you had brought that up because you had talked about 50 Cent and how you remember in the club and that's what you were doing. It's a memory thing, I guess.
And I think I was downplaying that experience that Prince had and the impact he had. I'm just going to go on the record here. I was wrong. You guys were right.
Do we get a hashtag?
Hashtag you guys were right. And because of that, I want to we're going to drop 7 seconds, because that's all we're legally allowed to do, of my very favorite Prince song in the world. And a lot of the reason I like the song is actually because the Foo Fighters covered it. But I do think it's a great song. And I forgot about that one. And apparently the guy who emailed the podcast on driveanddishpodcast.com mentioned some other ones that I probably should take into account, too. Either way, here is 7 seconds of my favorite Prince song. And so that was Darling Nikki, a little ode to Prince. Unfortunately, I wanted to play 30 seconds of it.
Legally not allowed.
Legally, we can play 7 seconds.
Prince would not have wanted us.
Prince would
to
have
play.
Hated
he
that.
He would have hated
by
that,
the way.
Probably.
He hated the fact that we could only play 7 seconds.
No. He didn't. Like, he sued his fans because they put up YouTube videos of him performing. He was very, very against, like, iTunes and all those music softwares. He said, if you're not paying me for my music, I don't want you to have it. He was very against it. He didn't like YouTube. He didn't like, I mean, he didn't like any of them.
He was like Metallica in that sense.
Yeah, he really didn't like the fact that people, you know, would could just have his music. And surprisingly enough, if you try to find his music on YouTube, it is very hard.
No, it's only on Tidal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're listening to the Drivin' Dish NBA podcast. My name is Kevin Rafuse. Joining me to my left, my co-host, Tim Tompkins.
The ball does not lie.
Oh, you brought it back.
I did, man. I'm listening to all the listener feedback we're getting this week.
Yeah, a lot of feedback towards you wasn't the most positive.
No, none of it.
All right. And behind the boards, keeping us honest as always, our producer, Justin Kuzart.
I'll be yo coach.
Oh, dude, oh, Swaggy
dude,
P. Young.
Yep.
Dude, should we bring that segment back?
Honestly, he's starting to get entertaining
again. If Joel Embiid starts playing too.
Oh, gosh.
We may have to.
We'd have to segments. Drop another segment, though.
For no, you can never have too many segments.
Well, yeah, we can't have the podcast go an hour and 45 minutes.
Well, we That's rotate, fair. Though.
Yeah, but then everything would like, is that segment worth pushing back the other segments?
Maybe. I don't know. Do you guys really care what
you
Embiid
in? I think we should do a social media poll, and I want to figure out which segments the listeners like the most. Is it Mailbag? Is it Hot Takes from Reddit? Random NBA Player? Or Drive and Dougal? Because if we had their input, then we would know.
And the news.
Well, no, the news is saying news regardless. Saying, yeah. I don't give a crap what they think about that.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's my favorite part of the show.
Oh, okay. Okay, okay.
And it is really? Our show.
I've been told by some of our listeners that were blowing me up this week that when I read, I sound like a robot. But when I talk about beer and drinking and playing, I sound normal.
When you read stats, I think was
really
specifically yeah. what he was saying.
Well, yeah, because, you know,
well,
a lot
stats
of times,
are boring, though. And playing and drinking and doing those things are not boring.
Exactly. I'm just picking up on the
boringness.
I mean,
stats are great. But, you know.
Well, one thing you're speaking from the heart. The other one you're speaking from Basketball Reference.
Yeah, agreed. Right.
Anyway, each week on the show, we like to give you guys a shout out for giving us a shout out by leaving us a review on iTunes because it really does help the podcast.
All right, so we got a review from Australia this week. It's by Dunny104. The name of the review is Keep Up the Good Work. It's a 5-star review. Dunny says, keep up the good work, guys. Still the best podcast other than the starters. And good work for getting a sponsor. Hopefully by the time this gets read, you should have some more. Which, that's funny.
We
do have something to tell you about later in the episode.
You know what kind of bothers me, though, is that people still compare us. And it's like the starters really only put out one podcast a week. It's their Friday drop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great show. But
it's a great. I love it.
It's,
yeah.
Not a podcast, you know, they're a TV show that's taking the audio, and if you want to get into the technicalities of what is a podcast,
or
we
is it,
have that debate,
but or is it them doing their podcast on live television?
Right.
No.
But
well, the only thing
I don't think that's a podcast.
The
personally.
Only problem I
technically it is,
and but. I'm not trying to blast them. I just don't like the parts where they're doing things that are obviously for a podcast you can't see or
right
see.
When they're like breaking down plays that they're doing on television for the
that's
play.
Just
like, kind
of rough.
Translate.
But I do agree that I think they're good, and I mean they're you know. An inspiration, at least for me, in the podcasting
Absolutely.
Side of things.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I just think that he should say, as compared to like Ion Basketball or The Low Post or a podcast that are specifically podcasts, not mm-hmm. audio that's taken from TV. But, you know, we got to give it up to the roots of all NBA podcasts, which is basically the starters.
Yeah, no, they definitely were the trailblazers. In this scenario, not like the team that like they blazed it.
Yeah,
you know,
I get it. Because yeah. technically, it. They the North.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're Canadian.
We the North.
What?
They're from Canada.
Hashtag
I mean,
we the
most
North.
Of them anyway.
Who?
The starters.
Yeah, like Todd.
Oh. I thought you meant the Trailblazers for a second. I was like, when did Oregon become part of Canada? I yeah. know it's up there,
no,
but.
No.
Tell me something I do not know. Do not know.
Now. If you do not know the present, how can you claim to know the future?
Now on NBA News on the Drive and Dish podcast.
We need to know now.
All right, first in your news, the Golden State Warriors have granted permission for the Lakers to interview Luke Walton. Steve Kerr said the Lakers will be able to meet with Walton now that the Warriors have advanced to the second round. Walton is considered a prime candidate for the Lakers, and it's worth mentioning Walton spent a vast majority of his career with the Lakers. Curry is starting to feel a little bit better a few days after spraining his MCL. Curry is expected to begin testing his knee on court next week. The Golden State Warriors announced that Curry would reevaluate his knee 2 weeks after the injuries because his MRI results were unknown. David Blatt and Phil Jackson have met to discuss the New York Knicks head coaching job. Blatt and Kurt Rambis are the only known candidates so far. While Jackson is believed to have some degree of interest in Luke Walton, like we said earlier, Luke's looking with the Lakers. Blatt was fired by the Cavs shortly after the All-Star break this year, and Rambis finished the season for the Knicks as their interim head coach, replacing Derek Fisher.
pressure. Blake Griffin re-aggravated his injury to his tendon in his left quad on Monday. He's going to miss the remainder of the playoffs. Griffin only played in 35 games in this season, averaging about 21 points, 8 rebounds, and about 5 assists. Dirk says he definitely will not retire this season, that he was feeling pretty good for the entire season. He is currently 6th all-time in points scored and 15th in made three-pointers. And lastly in your news, Steve Kerr has won the NBA Coach of the Year award. The Golden State Warriors went 73-9 in the regular season, breaking the NBA record. And that's your news for this week.
Something.
And this is the part of the show where we like to take some time to give a huge shout out to SeatGeek. They're hooking it up for us, making all this podcasting possible, helping us with the equipment and all that stuff.
Yeah, because honestly, without SeatGeek, like, we wouldn't have the equipment.
Right, right. So SeatGeek, what they are is they are a ticket buying service, an app that you can download for your phone. It's a free download, so you don't have to drop any money to get it. Once you do download it, you can really look at any ticket anywhere if you want to go to a concert, to a game. You know, there's a whole bunch of sports games going on right now, baseball, basketball, hockey. Once you pick the arena that you want to go to, you can see all the seats in the entire stadium, and in the specific sections that they are, there'll be a green dot, a red dot, or a yellow dot, the green being a good deal, yellow being okay deal, red being a bad deal. Once you click on it, it'll show you the price if you decide that that's where you want to sit and that's what you want to do. With the buying process, the price will not change. No matter what, there's no random processing fee or you bought it on a Wednesday fee. And we wanted to give our good friend at Steve Nash T 1013. He goes by Matthew Bass on Twitter. He hooked us.
Well, that's his name.
Oh, no, it might not be.
Okay.
He says, thanks for saving me $20 off the Braves Mets game that ended up being $9 for two people. You guys are awesome. I jog to you.
Dude, the Braves should kick us some money too. That's now two people have gone to Braves games using the code DISH on SeatGeek.
Yeah, so if you want to save $20, obviously just go to the settings tab once you download the SeatGeek app, or if you already have the SeatGeek app, just go to the settings tab, type in the promo code DISH, and it'll save you $20 off your next purchase.
Yeah, and it really does let the sponsors know that that you guys support the show, so thank you so much for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So the votes came down finally. I'm not sure that it was a surprise to anybody, though I am really glad that I didn't have a vote in this.
Right. Would this not have been your vote?
I mean, it would have had to have been, but I wouldn't have felt good about it.
Yeah, that's, I think you pretty much just summed up my feelings exactly.
It's Steve Kerr winning Coach of the Year. We'll break down the voting a little bit. I have first, second, and third. Maybe these guys have, you know, more votes in their arsenal. Steve Kerr brought the Warriors to the best NBA season in history. Terry Stotts getting second. Greg Popovich getting third in the voting. Brought Luke Walton out on stage with him.
Which nice. Is fair. Classic he probably gesture. Deserves it, yeah.
Right. He has to. Luke Walton got them off to that hot start. Luke Walton,
I saw
they were arguably better with Luke Walton coaching.
People were saying that.
That's
apparently.
A hot take from Reddit.
No, I'm just saying, if you look at the record of the Warriors while Luke Walton was coaching as opposed to while Steve Kerr was coaching, that they were better.
Well, and they were saying that a lot of Luke Walton.
It's the beginning of the season.
I mean, yes, that's true.
But Luke Walton, apparently his idea in the playoffs was to start Iggy last year. Was apparently that was all Luke Walton that suggested that.
Well, we're going to see how good of a head coach Luke Walton is, because we know he's going to get a job somewhere.
Do you think he leaves? He said he's happy there.
I think he didn't he talk to the Lakers?
He did talk to. Well, no, they said that they got permission to talk to him, but I don't know if he did or not.
He's come up with pretty much every vacancy that's been out there so far. I mean, he came up in Minnesota before Tibbs got hired. He's been rumored in New York. He's been rumored at the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, he was also rumored for Phoenix. But obviously
speaking of, Thibodeau said that he definitely would have considered the Lakers as like a contender. So how much is that on the Lakers for not firing their coach sooner to get a look at
Well, you know, before we get into that, because with the Lakers, like, why did they wait a week? You know, you have a couple of the top coaches that have taken it. Like, why did you wait a
week? Make sure you're in the
like,
mix.
That should have happened an hour later. But regardless, I would like to point out that Luke Walton did receive 9 total points in the voting for a coach of the year, which I actually thought was kind of humorous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that, I just... what about any snubs? You know, because Terry Stotts, he did end up coming in second.
You could argue Terry Stotts deserves this award this year. I mean, look at it. It comes down to the what did you have and what did you make happen. Nobody thought Portland was going to be good. They lost pretty much all their starters other than Dame. And look at them now. They're a 5 seed, and we'll get into the series in a little bit. But, I mean, the Blazers look like they're the favorites now to go move on to the second round.
Well, how about Dwayne Casey? Like, he didn't end up in the top three. He brought the Raptors to the best series in Raptors franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't get that was the first year ever going over 50 wins, if I'm yeah. I mean, not mistaken. I do mistaken.
Think he got a few votes, but he didn't end up in the top three.
What about Brad Stevens?
Brad Stevens got some votes. Like, I don't think Brad Stevens is deserving of Coach of the Year this year.
Well, another guy that we haven't mentioned yet, I think Steve Clifford did a great job down in
Clifford
Charlotte.
Too.
I mean, you look
absolutely.
At Kid Gilchrist went out early. They've dealt with a lot of different injuries, and he's made it all work.
Now, I looked at the breakdown for the voting, like all of the breakdown, mm-hmm. and I didn't see a single first-place vote for Stan Van Gundy. And I'm going to keep bringing this. I'm not saying Stan Van Gundy should have won.
But they did. They
exceeded. He brought the Pistons to mm-hmm. like their first playoff berth in like 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, the job Stan Van did this year, I think it was phenomenal.
I think he should definitely get some votes and get some consideration. If I'm breaking it down, I mean, I'm putting Kerr one. It's just one of those situations where they were the best team in NBA
like
history.
Like, you're obligated to, even though you feel good
to.
About it.
Right. It's history. Like, he has to be the coach of the year, for better or for worse. But I think, you know, the 1A would have probably been Terry Stotts for me. Again, I think Steve Clifford should be up there.
Well, how about Greg,
I think Popovich?
Greg Popovich. He coached the Spurs into the best season in Spurs franchise
absolutely.
History. Absolutely. And out of
all the
seasons.
They had the fourth best record
right.
ever.
And but out of all the good seasons the Spurs have had, he brought them to the best one in franchise history. That deserves, like, the coaching crop this year has just been so good.
Yeah.
I think if, okay, so take the Warriors out of it completely. Like, they couldn't win this award. I think you'd have to give it to Pop, right?
For
the sheer fact that they had the fourth best in history.
And the best in Spurs franchise. The question with the coach to me, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but are you making the team better than the talent would suggest that they should be?
And, I mean, the Warriors, like, Curry was in, what, most improved and MVP this year. So, like...
Well, Curry will win the MVP.
Yeah, I know. And, I mean, you know... I didn't want to say it. You never know. Something crazy could go down.
It would be the wildest thing of all time if Curry didn't win the MVP.
It really made for a non-fun MVP discussion. Like, we didn't even have it on the podcast.
No. Just because it's a given. Come on. Like, but that's the thing is, like, the fact that all of Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, like, they're all playing really well. And a part of that has to come with the coach, right?
Did you guys see the Draymond Green totally rip that reporter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that reporter got fired.
Yeah.
He asked him about the floods in Houston.
And it was just like the stupid. At first, when I saw that working in the media, I have a bleeding heart towards reporters. I'm just thinking, my first thought was this basketball player was being kind of an a-hole to a reporter and everybody's making a big deal out of it. Then I went and watched it and I'm like, no, Draymond Green did everything.
Well,
right
apparently
there.
He's from China too.
The reporter?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
It's just a random tidbit.
I mean,
apparently,
I just don't understand.
Was an American reporter.
Well, it was really insensitive. And, you know, Draymond Green's like, people down there are losing their houses and their homes.
Oh, it's
and
not
their,
funny.
Their friends and their family and their loved ones. Like, yeah, this is
there was somebody
funny.
That said that the flooding in Houston is the worst in modern history. Like, damn.
Tell that to people that survived Katrina.
In Houston, in the city is I'm saying. Not in just the scope of history. But no, I'm talking, and the thing with the reporters, the other thing that, and this is kind of a journalistic thing, but I'm glad that, like, the reporter got fired. They didn't put his name on blast. Like, everybody knows it's a stupid question, but getting fired is good enough punishment.
Fired?
Yeah.
You do? You thought that was a fireable
offense?
Yeah,
super disrespectful. Absolutely.
You can't be disrespectful.
You can't do that. Like, you can't do that question.
Especially because the media already gets such a bad rap. You know what I mean? Like, they already kind of get a bad rap with some of the players to begin with, and then you have one reporter ask something that's just not really, you know, that great. And for anybody listening, if you want to hear this, we'll post it up on our Facebook page. You can check it out, Driving Dish Podcast.
Hey, let me ask you guys a question. If Draymond Green wouldn't have called him out and it wouldn't have gone viral, do you think the reporter would have got fired anyway?
I think that's going to go viral regardless. Like, you don't, that kind of stuff goes viral.
I mean, no.
If it hadn't?
No, probably not. But at the same time, it
did.
Bad
look for the
company. So then is it only a fireable offense because of how much?
No, I think it absolutely would have been fireable. I just think it probably would have got away with it. Like, nobody would have snitched per se.
So speaking of coaches, is that I think all year that we've kind of been lukewarm on Dave Yeager. But after watching his response to his team losing in the playoffs, but his response more to, like, just the team getting him there and the amount of passion and the fact that he was almost balling up and he was tearing up at this. Like, there were questions. We've gotten mailbag questions about this before. Should Memphis keep Dave Yeager? And I don't know about you guys, but my mind, when I saw this, that is everything you want in a coach, is somebody
who
cares
that passionate.
Is that much about that team. I mean, what was your guys' take on it? Was it demasculating? Was it appropriate?
No, like, no, it's not demasculating. I think any indication of that is stupid. I mean, Memphis had a lot of adversity to go through this year. I mean, besides just all the injuries that kept happening to all their big players, obviously the biggest one being Marc Gasol missing an extended amount of time down the run. I mean, we're talking about a team that was running out 7 or 8 players on any given night.
I think they had 28 players on their roster, right, which is the most for like NBA history.
Like 10-day contracts. You know, they went out and got a guy like Mario Chalmers in a trade early, and then he gets hurt.
Jordan Farmer was their starting point guard against the Spurs.
Yeah. It was
you can't do that. That's not good, Bob.
But no.
And they were competitive.
Right. They were competitive. The team fought through. They never got down. They never turned into a doormat. I mean, they were battling the Spurs. They in both games at Memphis, like, they didn't go quietly. They went out, you know, they went out on their feet. There's nothing, you know, it was unfortunate that all those injuries happened, but Memphis has nothing to be ashamed of.
I mean, but what do you think about the discussion? There's been rumors of Dave Yeager not getting along well with management, and a lot of discussions of going into next season, did the Grizzlies change the coach? Did his statement on the team and what he had to say about the team impact how you guys think of Dave Yeager?
Yeah, I respect his passion. I thought pretty highly of him as a coach. I never thought he was like the greatest coach of all time, but I think he's been a good coach for Memphis, so I haven't really gone in a big way up or down. I definitely haven't gone down.
My problem with the Grizzlies is it was almost becoming a running joke that they would make it into the playoffs, but they would never like go farther than the first or second round. You expected them to play tough, but you never saw them winning at all, I guess.
That being said, they're also a mid-market team, which I think is something a lot of people
which
forget.
Which is big. Yeah, no, I agree. No, I don't think you fire them. No, because even next year, unless they do something crazy in the offseason, I see him making it in the playoffs as a fourth or fifth seed and then making it a round or two and being out. You know what I mean? Unless they bring over something crazy.
Yeah, but how much do you fault coaching for that?
I mean, I don't know. You got to figure something out with the team. It's been a few years now that they've been doing
this.
Well,
it's been GMing. I mean, they got...
I agree. And
well,
maybe
GMing,
that's where
like
the...
how many people are really... like, how many players are like, they're making Memphis a top destination? Speaking of, Mike Conley said one decision he's going to have in free agency this summer is whether or not they can attract free
exactly
agents.
And then did you see what Allen's response was to that?
Oh, that he'll give him a flagrant foul up in New York
if he goes to the Knicks. Yeah,
can't wait. It's amazing.
I don't know if he'll go there. Maybe, who knows?
I mean, it's all about the free agency. Conley's is an older player now. He probably wants to chase that ring. He's a super competitive dude. He's been in the playoffs
for playing for the Knicks.
Well, there's rumor Howard's
going
there as well.
To the Knicks? Is that what the rumor is?
No, I mean, that's just basing it off of the statement from Mike Conley.
Yeah, no, and then I know Howard, there's always rumors of him going to New York.
Dwight Howard actually would fit in.
New York has Robin Lopez, though, and Robin Lopez is under contract, and Robin Lopez, played really well.
Why not have both? And,
well, we'll get
and
into that in a bit. We got a mailbag question about this, so we'll hold off on that. You're listening to the Drivin' Dish NBA podcast. Kevin Rafe, Houston Tompkins, Justin Cousard. Follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA. I want to do one quick thing before we get too deep into the injuries and the meat of this episode and what's become a rather unfortunate playoffs. The Sacramento Kings, we give them a lot of crap sometimes. Not the best run team always. However, they released their new logos this week, and man, they are fantastic.
I'm all right with them. Like, I don't love them, but I think that they're good, especially the one with the basketball on the bottom with a like fire on top that says Sacramento, then Kings, and then it's the ball on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think that's really fly.
The only one I kind of have a problem with is the lion that looks like it's about to dribble a crossover. And the only reason I have a problem with that is, I don't know, I have a problem with it. I'm not a big fan. This goes back to me being in college because we used that same exact logo. If you guys want to look that up, just Google Flagler College and the freaking picture will come up. It's like a lion.
College logo. It also reminds me of... you guys have seen that really old Jim Carrey movie. It wasn't Mailman. It was Cable Guy. Mm-hmm. And they went to, and I don't remember what it's called, but they go to this thing where there's like knights jousting or whatever.
Oh, the Renaissance.
Fair? No, it's not Renaissance Fair, but it's because it's like indoors or whatever. But it reminds me of that for some reason. So I concur
with
you.
Well, it's like you would see it on like a knight's shield,
right?
Like, and
right.
that's where that came from. I know the symbol is called something. I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but that's the only one I had a problem with. I really kind of like the basketball that turned into the lion a little bit. That was kind of cool.
Bad. Yeah, no, I like it. I mean,
hey, they did something right.
Purple and silver.
They don't do right things.
Well, the thing that they're doing now.
Well, no, the crowns are a good touch. I like that it pays homage to the older logos and it has the retro feel of the old Kings logos. I mean, I really like the one that you were talking about with the half basketball and then the half crown on top, and it's nice.
Well, the thing that is low-key kind of funny about this is the Sacramento Kings are giving away free tattoos of these logos. So, Tim, could you see any of those tattooed on your body?
No. I mean, I have tattoos now, but I'm really over them. Tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, them, but just getting tattoos in general. I have a little bit of real estate left for a tattoo that I'm not going to mention should that ever happen. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, like, even a Suns logo, I don't think I do.
I was going to say, I'm low-key kind of surprised that you don't have a Suns logo on your body.
Can we
somewhere.
Stop using the term low-key? I just feel like now we're using low-key for everything.
All right, I'm high-key surprised. I just think it was kind of funny that they were doing that. I think it's a good look.
It's cool, actually.
They should. The Kings should. If you're going to get their logo tattooed on your body, you're basically a walking advertisement for them.
The Kings should absolutely pay for it.
Yeah, so the pictures are all over social media. We have it up on our Instagram page, so feel free to check it out.
Are the Clippers the unluckiest team of all time?
Dude.
Steph Curry goes down with an injury. They're about to face the Curry-less Warriors in the second round, and then they lose Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, two of their top players.
And J.J. Redick's battling a heel problem.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Right.
Well, and right off the bat.
But are they? Because it's so Clippers.
Well, so listen to this, right? April 25th, 2014, the Donald Sterling tapes were dropped by TMZ. April 25th, 2016, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin go down, season-ending injuries. The same day, just 2 years apart, like April 25th is not a good day for the Clippers.
That's funny. I wonder next year, April 25th, if they're going to be thinking, oh, God.
Can they just be like, can we get a bye?
Right. Can we just like,
yeah, no games, no, they're all like,
nobody's,
locked up
you're
in
all
their
sitting
hotel
in
the
house, putting chairs in front of doors and not leaving.
It's surprising news.
They're good at that.
And we tweeted this as breaking from our Twitter account earlier at Drive Dish NBA, is that Austin Rivers is going to be replacing Chris Paul.
Which I wasn't that surprised about. But yeah. Austin Rivers, I looked up his per 36 minutes, 41%, about 13 points per game, two turnovers, a steal. But Paul was almost at three steals. I mean, you're just not going to be able to replicate that.
Well, and their backup guard is Pablo Prigioni, but is he actually even going to be playing?
Jamal Crawford's going to be, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that was scary to me, though, Chris Paul ranks eighth, all players for scoring in the playoffs. He's at 23. Blake Griffin is at 25. And Crawford's at 37. After that, no one's in the top 50.
Well, yeah, I mean, how many points a game did they lose by losing those two players? You know, like, I don't have the stats in front of me, but probably like 40, 45, 50.
You got to assume at least 20 by each of those guys.
Right, so you're looking at like between 40 and 50. How did they make that up? Did they make that up with Austin Rivers and Jeff Green?
Crawford. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be a lot of... I mean, we saw kind of the blueprint of how they're going to play at the end of the season when they beat Utah on that Crawford.
Well, and DeAndre Jordan.
Game. Yeah, like they have, you know, we've seen what they'll run. It's just that team runs through Chris Paul, and now you don't have him. And on top of that, you know, you get that at least the boost of Blake Griffin coming back. You can say afloat and maybe win a series or two. But, I mean, yeah, this is extremely unlucky.
Looking at
this is what now, 5 seasons in the playoffs straight where Chris Paul's had some kind of injury?
Yeah. Austin Rivers, the thing that was kind of crazy to me, and Tim, you'll like this because this is a little more of an advanced stat. He's only got a 10% assist percentage.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not
even
good.
Isaiah Thomas has a higher
assist percentage. Yeah, he's about 11 turnovers per 100 plays. Mm-hmm. Not good.
Well, I guess when I thought this, I thought it's too bad for the Clippers, but the first round of the Western Conference NBA playoffs have, to me, been really disappointing. And I was really looking, like, the thing about the Clippers and Warriors is whether or not you want to call it a rivalry or whether or not the two teams just don't like each other. I was really looking forward to the series because they don't like each other. And I thought the second round of the Western Conference is going to be so good because we finally get some competitive matchups. The Clippers are probably going to lose, but at least the games will be close. There's probably going to be some elbows thrown. I know how much you love when teams throw elbows, Justin.
Oh, God. Dirtiest play ever was freaking Kyle Lowry trying to break Paul George's arm last night.
What did one of our listeners say? They got to try anything they can. But
that's fair. I mean, I understand that.
Yeah,
but
it's disappointing for the playoffs. Yeah. Is my take on it. And so, you know, now there's a really good chance that the Blazers are going to end up winning the series. And honestly, I hope they do, because at least it will be a more competitive series.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got robbed of what was going to be a really good series.
Yeah. No, we did on both accounts. I think it's disappointing, because if these two teams are going to be injured and have to go out, it means that we're not going to see OKC and San Antonio in the conference finals. I mean, how mad do you think both of those teams have to be? They could have got a Stephless Warriors. Or
Wait, who?
The Spurs or the Thunder. How upset do you think they had to be if they're on the other side of the bracket?
They wouldn't. Steph Curry's going to be reevaluated.
Yeah, he's not definitely coming back.
Like, it's reevaluated, and it's around game five of the second series.
But even when he comes back, you can't expect him to be 100%.
You have to at least
He's not going to be 100%. And, dude, that's an issue, though. I mean, it's like them going into the playoffs, how much of them being in the playoffs and winning it all last year? Obviously, it's talent, but health factors in.
Absolutely.
And Vestas Azili's not playing all that well. Harrison Barnes is playing like absolute garbage this year. Nobody's talking.
Well, we brought this up. I brought this up on our Twitter, is, you know, all these stars go through injuries over and over again. And you look at how many minutes LeBron James has played, and he never has had, like, a crazy, crazy injury.
Well, it's because LeBron's a freak of nature. Like, LeBron's athleticism.
Yeah, knock on wood, man.
Like, I'll knock on wood, but I don't.
Dude, if LeBron went down, like, obviously I would never, ever wish that, and that would be awful, especially because you want somebody, like, legit that can challenge the Titans in the West coming out of the East, but.
Well, and I wanted to bring up something else about the Blazers before we get off of them. And Mason Plumlee, I wanted to highlight him for a second. Because all the year, I was reading an article about him, all year the team has been yelling at him when he brings the ball up, because he does it every once in a while. And they would yell at him, and then so the playoffs started, and Lillard and McCollum were getting just absolutely destroyed defensively because they were playing so tight. So they finally let Plumlee handle the ball. And he's gone up to like almost 7 assists a game.
He has.
He's in the top 20 for rebounds right now. Like, the dude is bringing the ball up on 2/3 of their, like, plays when they bring it up. And there's something to be said, and this was the theory, is give the worst shooter on your team, other than the center, you know, the ball to bring up, because everybody else is a threat.
Well, that's the argument between when you're looking at Oklahoma City, is a lot of people think that Oklahoma City is a lot more effective when Westbrook has a ball, because you have Kevin Durant to pass to, rather than when Kevin Durant has a ball, he doesn't have as good of a shooter to pass to. And it's not that Kevin Durant's a worse player. It's just that you want the better shooters to not have the ball in their hand.
Right. And the other thing that's kind of interesting is, since Plumlee does that, DeAndre Jordan is kind of forced to come out a little bit on him, which kind of takes him away from the rim, thus opening it up for Lillard. I won't say McCollum, because you don't like how he finishes. So,
dude, McCollum's fine. I'm just we were looking at the debate was most improved player, and I was like, look, he got worse within 10 feet circumference of the basket. Can you give most improved player to a player that got worse within 10 feet surrounding the basket? I mean, at least he knows that it's a basketball hoop, not a basketball ring.
Oh God, dude, don't even get us. That was terrible.
And
Ted Cruz.
In Indiana, right? And when you're quoting Hoosiers, it's like, oh man, that's like going to Philly and getting a cheesesteak and just saying like.
Can I get a cheese hoagie?
Yeah,
like,
or going
what?
To or doing the freaking the pizza with the knife and the fork in New York.
What would be like the hockey or football equivalent?
Do you do that?
I do do that.
Do you eat pizza with a fork and a knife?
I do when it's really hot.
Dude, get the you,
yeah.
Dude,
stop, man.
Stop.
It's not okay.
And then you got to fold it.
That is low key. Folding it is great, but that I was gonna say right. That is low key.
What was the other thing you guys hated? There was something we said the other day that you hated almost as much as my Mick Ultra. I'm just gonna make sure to do all three of those things at the same time.
Oh yeah, two episodes. I have to go back and
drink
Michelob
Ultra
while eating a pizza with a knife and a fork.
With a knife and a fork,
dude. If it's that hot, just don't touch it.
No, you gotta
have some self respect.
You know where I have not gotten any better in life is my entire life, every single time I eat a frozen pizza, I eat it too quick and I burn the roof of my mouth
for
like
2 days. Right.
But I do it every time. Dude,
and I always say every time, oh, I'm not going to eat the whole thing. I'm not going to eat the whole thing. Right. And it's gone.
Or I'm going to wait 5 minutes. I can't. I cannot wait when I'm looking at the frozen pizza
right there. I agree. I kind of liked what Doc Rivers said about Curry going down. He said, it happened to us in 2010. Kendrick Perkins was hurt for game 7, which... I mean, it's Kendrick Perkins.
I tweeted this to you. It's obviously a big-time exaggeration, but Perkins going down for that Game 7 was a huge deal.
But was Perkins their best player?
Obviously not. It's an exaggeration.
Was he their third best player? Like,
or the third best player in the world?
It's the general point.
I'm just saying.
The adversity they had to go through.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't say, though, it was like that when KG went down in 2009, because they never really got to defend their title. Though that did give us... probably the best first round series I've ever seen.
My thing with Curry,
Ben Gordon,
he did something one time.
And I said this before, why did they rush Curry back? Why did you bring him back? You didn't need him.
Well, yeah, we had that debate. But the thing is, like, his injury had nothing to do with that.
That's, I don't agree.
DeMonte Eunice, who fell on the floor, his sweat dripped all over the floor, and then Curry slipped over the sweat. Like,
I understand that was a
chance injury.
I understand, but my theory with injuries is if, like, say you, what, he hurt his one ankle. My theory with this is, I understand it's a fluke injury, but a lot of the times, say you sprain your ankle like you did, like Curry did, you're going to favor that ankle, which will then put more stress on the rest of the bones in your other leg or something like that, which could lead to more injury. And so I was saying, don't bring him back early, because that way, I mean, you're going to beat the Rockets regardless, in my opinion.
Yeah, they shouldn't have brought him back, but I don't... This right here was an injury, and I get your argument. I understand your argument of you're putting stress on the rest of your body because it has to overcompensate, mm-hmm. yada, yada. I get that. This right here was him slipping on the floor over a trail of sweat and his upper leg going one way and his lower leg going the other way.
I know.
You know, like, they...
They're honestly lucky it's only a sprain.
Well, the thing about sprain, everyone talks about sprains as if it's lucky. A sprain means a torn cartilage. Right. It's just the level of sprain is the level of torn cartilage.
No, I agree, but it could have been a lot worse.
It's just like a stretched piece.
Yes, but that's a very quick way to tear your ACL.
Yes.
So that's I guess that's what I'm saying. The thing that's interesting, though, is Curry's not the best in really any statistical category other than steals on the Warriors for the playoffs this year. Klay Thompson's leading in points. Draymond Green's leading in rebounds. Curry has steals. I even think he may have
that
assists.
That being said, the amount of pressure that they put on Curry...
Right. He is a game changer.
...makes everybody else more open, so you can see why that would happen.
No, I agree. So do you think... I mean, do you think the Warriors still can, you know, win?
I think the Warriors are going to get past the Blazers or the Clippers, regardless of whoever they play, just fine. I think that their bench is fine. I think that once you get to San Antonio, they need, like, the Warriors need a healthy Spurs. I just think it'll be a shame for who, if somebody does beat the Warriors, that we're going to put that, like, asterisk at the end of the season.
Oh, there will be.
Well, I think,
yeah.
But, you know, you
could
say
doing.
That about any team, any year. You know, we said this about the Warriors last year because of how easy it was for them to get through. Stop with the asterisks.
But we brought this up earlier when we were talking about if you win the all-time wins record, but you don't win
if Curry gets injured and it means significant time, I think it'll be looked as a more unfortunate thing than a choking thing. So I think they'll have that going for them. I mean, obviously, that's not the way you want to do it, but I don't think you can't blame the Warriors for injury. I think if Curry is healthy, and you clearly see that he's healthy when he comes back, assuming in the second round, and once he gets into the Spurs, then I don't think you put an asterisk next to it, because the Spurs are that good. This, you know, we talk about this team.
But even if he's not, like, I feel like the Spurs will still get the asterisk. And, a lot of winning has to do with health, and it has to do with luck in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And every team that's ever won a championship has been lucky in some aspect. A lot of it's talent, obviously, but a lot of it is also luck.
Well, the other thing to remember, if Curry does come back, he probably won't be 100%. I also think there's going to be a big mindset thing. If you're any team playing them, if Curry's out, you feel like you might have an advantage. If he's in, you're going to feel a little more reserved, obviously.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure you can say. I mean, look at how terrible the Rockets have been, but we won't really get into that. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of point guards going down, Isaiah Thomas, sprained his ankle. He's vowing to play in game six.
Dude was, I was just looking at some of his numbers, shooting about 40% per game, 30% from three, 80% free throw, about 24 a game, playing 35 minutes. Like, that's a big blow for the Celtics.
I'm so happy the Suns traded him.
Why is that?
Are you?
No.
Oh.
Dude, I'm like.
I was like, wait, why?
It's just, as a Suns fan, I got to tell you, man, every time you see Isaiah Thomas on TV, it's just depressing.
Well, especially after you trade Dragic. Like, you could have just kept him then, and it would have worked out. Yeah. Like, I didn't understand the signing when you brought him in, but whatever. I'm not going to keep rubbing salt in that wound there.
It's a salty wound.
If we're talking Celtics and Hawks, man, has there been a series where home court has mattered more than this? I mean, geez, oh, man. Atlanta, we were worried about them. Boston's winning two straight. They got the momentum, two really good wins for Brad Stevens' squad. And then Atlanta comes back here in game five and just blows the doors off them.
This all comes down to turnovers. When you're looking at these series right here that when the Celtics have scored 8.3 points per game off turnovers in the two Hawks victories, and in the two Celtics victories, they've scored 22.5 points per game off of turnovers. You look at the Celtics defense, and it's all built around turning the ball over for the other team. Mm-hmm. And when the Celtics aren't doing that, they aren't going to beat you in the half court, especially when you're playing against a team like the Hawks. Could they beat Charlotte in a half court? Probably. But that's not who they're playing. And mm-hmm. if they aren't turning the ball over and if they aren't rebounding the Hawks, they aren't going to win the series.
I mean, I completely agree. I think even if Thomas comes back, though, he's going to not be 100%. You don't get over a sprain that quickly, you know?
I think it's going seven. It's one of those series where you got that feeling. I just can't see Boston going out up there.
But home court doesn't matter.
I know. It's not about home court.
I wasn't downplaying the point. I think it's not specifically home court. No, it's about protecting the ball.
I agree. No, and that was more of just, you know, an observation than anything. And I think you're absolutely right in that regard. But I think Boston, the way they fought all year, I think, you know, Marcus Smart's been stepping up these playoffs, which I think has helped out. I think they get enough contributions at home to squeak this out and go seven. I picked Atlanta in the series originally in seven, so I'm going to stick by that prediction.
Jarebko has been taking all of Solinger's minutes.
Yeah, and they started Turner, too, which was kind of interesting.
Turner actually has a higher assist rate than Jeff Teague. That being said, Jeff Teague has been dishing out the ball 75% of the possessions in which he's had it, which is up from his regular season average of 68%. So, not Jeff Teague, Isaiah Thomas. So Isaiah Thomas is dishing out the ball. His teammates just aren't making it.
Capitalizing.
Yeah, they aren't capitalizing on that.
If the Hawks don't win the first round, do you think they trade Teague?
No.
You think they keep Teague regardless?
Yeah.
Because they got to do something with Schroeder and Teague. Coming back to this. But
that being said, Teague has been a better player in the playoffs than Schroeder.
Well, and Schroeder's been important.
Bazemore has been playing really
well. I mean, well, that's what a lot of the Celtics are doing, is they're leaving Bazemore wide open because you got to give up something, and Bazemore's been lighting him up.
And I know I just said Kent Bazemore's been playing really well, but I kind of want to take that back for a second. At least for the eye test, he's looked like he's playing really well. I looked at his numbers. They're all right, but they're not as impressive as I kind of assumed they would be when I went to check, I guess.
Well, he's hitting open shots that they're leaving him.
Well, and they're saying, you know, Bazemore is going to be the one that has to beat us, I guess, in a way. And, I mean, he's I think he was at about 15 points per 100 possessions or something like that, which was all right.
I mean, he's more of a defensive player.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Bazemore, a lot of the Celtics have been playing really well. Kelly Olynyk needs to be healthy. Kelly Olynyk isn't. He kind of looks like a shell of himself right now. Jared Solinger, I think Jared Solinger's a free agent at the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like how much does this impact his free agency going into the summer?
Yeah.
Please, teach me how to
play basketball.
Gee, let me think. Sure.
The Drive and Dougal.
Wait, what's that?
It's like Google, if it's just the NBA.
Let's talk about advanced stats, and this time, win shares. Win shares is one of the more difficult stats for casual NBA fans, and this is because it's more complicated than counting stats such as field goal makes or rebounds. But the important thing to remember about win shares isn't how it's calculated, but what it's trying to say about the player. Offensive win shares are calculated by a calculation of counting stats taking into account points created, points per win by the team, possessions, and factoring in turnovers, among others. The players on the team win shares will roughly equal the team's wins for the total season. Now, defensive win shares are calculated as well, though that metric is understandably a bit harder to measure. Then, the total of offensive and defensive win shares are added together to give the total win shares metric of for the player. Bill James created the win share statistic back in the 70s. Bill's method was one win equaled roughly three win shares. However, Basketball Reference varies from that, meaning in that only one win will roughly equal one win share for the player. A little history for you. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's total of 25.4 win shares in the 1971-72 season is the all-time greatest single season record, while the all-time leader in win shares per 48 minutes is Michael Jordan, giving credence that Michael Jordan really is the greatest player of all time. My only issue with this stat is it doesn't, in my opinion, accurately weigh the contribution of a player on a team that isn't winning very many games. Just my two cents, though. This week's Drive and Dougal, win shares.
All right, so we kind of teased it earlier in the show when reading that review, but we want to tell you guys about this new sponsor that we are graciously working with, and that's Loot Crate. Make sure you go to lootcrate.com/drive-in-dish. And what Loot Crate is, it's a monthly subscription box service. It's got epic geek and gamer items. So, you know, other ones like this, you got Birchbox, for example, who does makeup and shaving kits. But what this does is it allows you to celebrate your inner nerd. You get geek and gamer items and the latest pop culture gear. But the best part is it's not just a knockoff. It's all specifically licensed. So I know one thing for me that especially caught my interest was the Star Wars box. You know, I was really raving when Star Wars Episode 7 came out and the Rogue One trailer is out anyway. But they give you collectibles. They give you t-shirts, all sorts of licensed merchandise, be it action figures, be it little bobbleheads, just all sorts of gaming gear that's unique. It's one of a kind for less than $20 a month. Less than $20 a month, so less than what you fill up your car with gas. You get 6 to 8 different items, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, like I said, all sorts of stuff. And we talked about one of my favorite holidays is Christmas. It's basically like Christmas every month. You're guaranteed you get a present. You know, every once in a while you have a bad day. You'll have Loot Crate coming towards you. They'll be giving you their best stuff. And if you're signing up now, they're actually unveiling their May box. So the theme of the May box is power. So it's a big month for summer movies. It's going to be talking about pop culture's most unstoppable, unrelenting, and unbeatable characters. As they say, you know, no one crate should have all that power. You know, a little Kanye play on words. No one crate should have all that power. But seriously, you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time. That's 12 a.m. Eastern time. I have no idea what time that is in Australia. Sorry, Aussie listeners. But you have it. You can subscribe and you'll get this month's May crate, so you'll get that power crate. But that doesn't matter. You can subscribe for 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. But either way, you're getting some of the best gamer gear delivered to your door every month. And they've teamed up with the podcast, so you could really help us out if you like us, support the show. Sign up, it's at lootcrate.com/drive-and-dish, like Drive and Dish podcast. And then when you enter the code Drive and Dish, it's all one word, all lowercase, you could save yourself $3 on any new subscription. So save yourself some cash, support the show, and everybody wins.
And I've actually done a couple things that are kind of comparable. There's something called Birchbox for men that I've signed up for. There's another clothing one. I know they have these for records and vinyls and all that type of thing, and they're really cool, legit services if you're into that kind of thing. And you know, I just think if you're a gamer, if you like this kind of stuff, it's really cool. They also did a really neat Aliens one, and I'm such a huge fan of the Aliens series.
Yeah, just listening to Kevin talk about it, I kind of was thinking back in my mind, this would be a great way. You know, my brother's kind of into like Star Wars and stuff like that. I'm like, this is a great way I can just like every month kind of get a few things that I can hold on to as like a birthday present.
Well, you know what
I
did for my girlfriend for, I can't remember if it was her birthday or Christmas, is I actually got her a year subscription to something like this, but it was something that she was into.
Huh.
And so I did that. So yeah, even if you aren't into it, but you have a friend, a loved one, you know, a girlfriend, a wife, whatever, that's into this kind of thing, by all means, like that's a husband, you know, we do have women that listen to the show, or a husband that's into this kind of thing. You know, there's options there.
Yeah. And so, if you want to check that out again, just go to our Facebook page. We have a link up there for you that can save you some money off as well.
Yep, lootcrate.com/drive-and-dish.
So we do want to talk about one more series before we move on to other things and mailbags and such. But Indiana-Toronto, which has been a very competitive series, and boy, let me tell you, Toronto fans have got to be happy that they squeaked out that game five, because it was looking bleak there for a second. And going back to Indiana, you know, they'd all be nervous.
I was sitting on my couch watching the game, and the Pacers were probably up by like 11 or 9 or something like that.
They were up for 9 for a while.
Yeah, and so I'm like, all right, well, I got to go take a shower. So I went and took a shower, and then I got to my room, and I turned on the TV in my room, and they were down by 2. And I was just like, what the hell happened? Like, I was so excited to be right. Because I picked the Pacers to win. I was so excited to be right.
Well, Toronto ended up putting Patterson in their starting lineup because Cole hasn't been playing well.
Yeah, they went small.
Yeah, they went really small in that lineup. DeRozan had a really good game, and I mean,
Kyle Lowry did not.
The thing about the series is that like the Raptors are beating the Pacers every single time that the Pacers take out George Hill and Paul George, and that's when like DeRozan really shines. And this is just becoming a series of, can you play Paul George 40 minutes a game?
Right.
You know, and they've been getting serious contributions out of Solomon Hill. And I hope everybody remembers when the Pacers turned down Solomon Hill's $2 million rookie extension for next year.
What was it?
Because now you're looking stupid.
Right. What was it that Casey said about Drake? Going out of bounds?
Yeah, he said, I was more worried about Drake than I was about Stucky.
It was Stucky. That was right. I couldn't remember who went out of bounds. Yeah. And then Drake did another thing where he posted an Instagram picture of Paul George with a tear emoji.
Yeah, it said I knew you were scared or something like that.
It's like, dude, he just dropped like 35 on you. Like,
dude, Paul George has been amazing in the series. The problem with the Pacers is that, and Nylon Calculus did this really cool thing where they made a graph essentially of a player's contribution and points, and that's including assists to the series. And Paul George, like his part of the pie or whatever it was really large in comparison to the rest of the players on the Pacers.
Yeah, he's the third highest scorer in the playoffs, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George is so important in the series. Paul George is the best player on the floor in that series. When you look at the series, normally the team with the best player wins. I'm not sure necessarily that that's going to be the case, but at the end of the day, like, this is a really bad matchup for Toronto. But looking at Toronto, if you don't get out of the first round this year, like, how many changes are going to be made?
Big time. It's got to be. That's 3 straight years then you would have expectations. And these are, when that's the best regular season Toronto team you've ever had, you have to win now.
Well, you have to at least win to get out of the first round.
You get bounced in the second round, okay. I still think it's a little disappointing because I think they're more than capable of going to the ECF.
Well, in theory, if you're the second team in the East or the West, you should be going to the conference finals.
Yeah.
I agree. And I'm just trying to think who they would match up better against, the Hawks or the Celtics, if in theory they got there. And I'm just like, I guess you'd rather play the Celtics. Because Thomas, potentially that injury, depending on how long that lingers.
I think you'd always rather play the team that's not as smart. And that's nothing against those players. They're younger.
They're just younger. And
Brad Stevens has been experienced.
Well, and they technically don't have a star.
Right.
You know, the Hawks have at least one star.
Yeah, I mean,
unless you want to consider Isaiah Thomas a star.
Right, one pseudo star.
An all-star this year.
I mean, yeah. If you look at the Hawks scoring margins across the players, that all of their starters average in double digits. It's not really one that's scoring way more than the other.
Mike Scott was like their lead scorer the other day or something like that.
Right.
17 and 9 players.
They were really good on the floor when they played Paul Millsap at the center and they played Mike Scott at the four. Sticking on the Pacers Raptors, is it's been a really good series. Who do you guys think closes this out?
I like Toronto now. I think they got the momentum finally going in their way. I think that was a really gutsy game 5 win. And so, you know, I'm going to stick on Toronto's. If they lose 5, it's a bit of a different story. But
you mean 6?
No. Even if they lose game 6, yeah. I still think they win game 7 in Toronto. I would have been a little more worried if they lost game 5. I don't think they were winning 2 straight. But I think they can close it out, and I think they will in 6.
I've been on the Pacers from day one, so I'm sticking with the Pacers. I'm convinced that last night was a fluke, and that if if the Pacers could have just scored 15 in that last quarter, would have been fine.
I mean, speaking to your point, the Raptors held the Pacers to 9 points in the fourth quarter, and that's including a buzzer beater three.
Which
by
I'll
Solomon
admit,
Hill.
It did not get out of his hand. Like that's fine. Like it.
Right. So basically, they scored six in the entire fourth.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, like how many times can that happen?
Yeah.
It's been a good series, but you know the series that we do know that are going to happen. OKC Spurs. Does OKC have a chance to beat the Spurs?
I think they have a chance. I think as long as you have Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on your team, you have a chance. I think, you know, Oklahoma City is no chump team. They're the number three seed in a very competitive West.
I agree.
They have
that.
A lot of depth. They can match physicality. You know, guys like Steven Adams who are physical. They've got Enes Kanter coming off the bench. He's been great for them all year. However, I don't think they're going to beat the Spurs. I think they're going to lose in six or seven.
My thinking is we've said it all year. We've been saying it the past few episodes. Is OKC makes three or four stupid mistakes.
A quarter.
And if there's a team that's going to make you pay for that, it's going to be the Spurs. Like, they are going to make you pay for it.
There's some really fun matchups in this, though. I think the Ibaka-Aldridge matchup is going to be really fun. I think the KD-Kawhi matchup is going to be really fun.
The Green Westbrook potentially, depending on whoever
Green
they
Westbrook.
Yeah.
I think that OKC, if OKC is going to pull out the series, that they have to get a much larger contribution from their bench, and that somebody other than Enes Kanter has to play great, and I think he will, but they can't have a slew of guards: Randy Foy, Deion Waiters, Anthony Morrow.
They have three Deion Waiters on their team.
Right, three Deion Waiters on their team.
If you want to know what I'm referencing, right. just tweet me and I'll tweet you the link. It's pretty funny.
But their bench has to do something in the series. They cannot rely on just those two players.
Yeah, I kind of want to see a little bit more from Payne. I feel like he hasn't been.
Well, that would be great if they played him. I mean, that's
right.
The
that's
whole
my
thing
problem
about the regular season is they kept playing Payne.
Yeah.
And then anytime they were in an important game, or now when they're in the playoffs, they have Randy Foy.
But I just don't understand why.
Right. Well, like, I know he's a rookie, but you got to baptize him at some point. Granted, doing it now against the Spurs in the conference final is one hell of a way to baptize a rookie.
No, they should have been doing it during the regular season. I think we talked about that on the mm-hmm, podcast mm-hmm. as well. Is you guys are playing these really important games, but you're not playing Payne down the stretch in these important games. And if you want to play him in the playoffs, and you should play him in the playoffs, you have to give him the experience.
If even just to get Westbrook some rest, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to wear him down.
Or to not play Randy Foy, because Randy Foy has not been good.
No.
By any stretch of the
I will say, I got so sad. Roberson got a pretty good steal the other game, and he was driving up, and he had a breakaway. I thought he was going to go up, and he like misdribbled the ball, and he stopped and turned around and threw it to Westbrook, and Westbrook just did not hit this three, and I was just like, ugh.
Westbrook has not really been good at shooting threes this playoff.
No, he has not. Although I feel like I don't want Kevin Durant shooting a three at this point either way, or just those pull-up.
I don't know. I think, well, it depends on who you are. If you're OKC, do you want them taking contested pull-up threes? No. If you're the Spurs, do you? Yes.
Yes. Well, okay, fair enough. But the other thing that should be mentioned for any Spurs fan is if you're the owner or if you're Phil Jackson, don't go off saying Westbrook's not a superstar, because it'll piss him off a lot. That Mark Cuban said this about him, and obviously KD and Westbrook did not like it. Westbrook had 36 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists the game that he said that.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's a really smart dude, and that was a really stupid comment.
Here's the thing.
It's like, why provoke the bear? Like,
well,
why?
And just the fact that Russell Westbrook is probably a top 5 player minimum in the league right now. Like, come on. He's better than anyone on your team, Mark.
Well, I was on Twitter, and I was looking at the Twitter discussions, and somebody brought this up, and I wish I could give him the credit for it, but I don't remember who this is. And he brought up the point that a superstar is not defined by stats,
right?
And that it's about notoriety. And
well,
he said, go out and ask 4 people who aren't into basketball if they've ever heard of Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried this a little bit earlier today, and there were only so many people in the room, so I asked 2, one had, one hadn't. But think to yourself, you're listening to this podcast right now, if you were to go out and ask 4 of your friends who don't know anything about basketball, have they heard of Russell Westbrook, what would the answer be? And if the majority of that is no, then he's not a superstar. I mean, a superstar is not stats definable. It is about your notoriety outside of the game when you're not talking about basketball.
Well, and Mark Cuban kind of commented on that. He said, Dirk, for 15 years, won 50 games no matter what. You put Mo, Larry, and Curly next to him, and he won 50 games. The way I define a superstar is who you want the ball in your hands at the end of the game when you need a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but that's pigeonholing that to one person on every team. Like, it's not, you can't hold that against Westbrook and say that he's not a great player because he's playing with Kevin Durant. That's silly. I mean, yeah, Dirk is absolutely a superstar, but that the argument doesn't make sense.
I know. I'm just saying, I kind of see what he means by that, I guess.
That was a testy series, wasn't it?
It really was. Surprisingly. Oh, and you know who I really like? I'm kind of excited for next year is to see Justin Anderson.
Yeah.
Kind of come out of the show.
He played some real stretch minutes as a rookie. There's been a bunch of rookies that have played some like serious minutes in the playoffs.
He punched Kevin Durant and Westbrook in the face in a matter of 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It was, like, I don't like violence, but I was just like, at this point, that's just impressive. You got both stars in a matter of 30 seconds. So, I don't know. It was dumb. Cuban, my thoughts were, why would you provoke Westbrook? He's just going to
I was thinking is now these players are never going to play for you.
Which is true, these guys. Yeah, no, that's true.
If I was Cuban on Shark Tank, I would have said I have to pass on that. Mm-hmm. Those comments.
I mean, it's not like stoking the fire on a series that's over matters. I just think about future business relationships.
Well, speaking of Mavs.
I also think money talks, though.
Yeah. Speaking of...
but they're getting max contracts regardless at that point. Like, the money's the same. It's max everywhere.
It's wherever you
want
to
go. No income tax in Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
The other thing that's worth mentioning is Chandler Parsons said apparently he's going to go out and try to recruit Dwight Howard to the Mavs.
So well, why don't we get some mailbag? Because that's actually one of our questions. So let's just get right into some mailbag. One. All right, we got a lot of questions from you guys this week. Some of them are saving in the stash. Some of them we're going to answer here, but we're running out of time, so let's answer a few. The first one comes from Mark H. on Twitter. He's at Akashik. _12, that's AKASHIC _12. Mark asks, what team would benefit most by adding Dwight Howard to their roster?
Me and Mark went back and forth on this on Twitter, so I'll let you guys go first.
I think Dwight Howard would be really good on the Celtics.
Okay.
I think the Celtics need some
Celtics front
court
weren't
help.
Someone that I thought of. I had originally thought Mavs potentially just because kind of older, he kind of fits with their timeline.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's absolutely
yeah,
true.
Yeah, I thought the Knicks... Just because the same kind of thing, like age-wise, he kind of fits in. And then I was thinking Trailblazers a little bit, just because then they can have a established.
I don't know. I think the Trailblazers need players,
their age or like younger.
No,
I guess
no. The Trailblazers have really thrived on taking players that everybody gave up on.
Yeah,
the misfit land of misfit
right,
toys,
land of misfits, and I think they need to keep that. They need to stick with it. I like what they're doing.
Okay.
No, I think. Boston definitely jumps off the page for sure. They need that interior guy. I like Dallas, too. I think Dallas is probably the best fit. I think Chandler Parsons is onto something here. I think that, again, the timeline is important. I think they can kind of have him play that Tyson Chandler role that Chandler played when they won the finals back in 2011. So I think Dwight on Dallas would probably be my choice here. But we were talking about Portland, and so another question that we got asked in mailbag this week was from Sarah Who Else, and she asked, how cool would it be to see Boogie in Portland?
Mm. That'd be really good.
He is kind of a misfit too.
Boogie and Lillard.
He's not given up on, but he's kind of a misfit.
Yeah, no. Dude, Boogie and Lillard would be a fun little
Boogie tangent. Lillard and CJ McCollum is kind of.
Oh, don't forget Mason Plumlee.
Dude, you gotta stop. What does he
stop
need to
hating
prove
on
to
him?
You?
Stop hating
I don't
on
understand.
Him.
This isn't as wrong as your Prince take, but it's getting there.
He's fine.
I just don't want you to hate him. Like, I don't know why. It bothers me that you don't like him.
He's fine. I don't dislike him.
Fine, whatever.
Take him or leave him. Mm-hmm. I think he's fine.
Sure.
All right, so the next question comes from Aaron Mortensen. He asks, who do you guys think is the most important free agent this summer, and where do you predict he'll sign? I mean, I feel like KD's got to be the answer here,
oh,
no?
Dude, no. We've been talking about this all...
Oh, Kate, God.
No,
here comes
stop.
Derek Williams. Here he comes.
No, we have been talking about this all year. It's not Derek Williams. It's not Aaron Aflalo. Okay, we're talking about Kent Bazemore. Kent Bazemore is a free agent this year.
He is. I low-key kind of want him to come to the Sixers.
How much money is Kent Bazemore going to get?
Probably a lot from the playoff play. Right?
Probably. I think he's going to get over 10.
So
we're talking about
think
who's
he gets over 10?
You think he gets over 10?
No.
Whoa.
I saw on Twitter earlier that somebody said Dellavedova was going to get 10. If Dellavedova was getting 10, then Bazemore is worth at least 10.
When we proposed our question on Reddit of how you would redo the 13 draft, a lot of people had like Delly going 6.
I mean, Dele's fine. He's just like, Dele's always going to be a backup point guard. The thing about it is you need a good backup point guard.
If there's anything we've learned from these playoffs is you need a good backup point guard.
Yeah, well, and Dele,
look at the Clippers.
And Dele's earned
right, you
it,
do.
Too.
Yeah.
But we're not going to keep harping on that. But to answer Aaron's question, and for the record, I'm just going to put this out there. I don't think KD leaves OKC this year. I think he signs a one-year deal and then goes for the max once he's got the 10-year clause in the league next year.
Okay, well, I'll go with a player I do think is going to leave, and that'll be Al Horford.
You think he's leaving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could see him on Boston. We were talking about Boston, too. So the next question comes from Espen Veda Skalanis. He asks, how good do you think Embiid will be when or if he returns next season, and predict how good he would have been right now if the injuries never happened? And no, I don't miss that team or any of those guys, which was in reference to your old school Bobcats picture that we used on the mailbag this
week. I was just
week.
Like, what a haircut.
Yeah.
What a haircut.
God, that mustache is just so bad, too, man. You know, it's like Morrison's Felton, trademark.
I was like, that is Raymond Felton. Jeez.
Yeah, no. Oh, boy. Raymond Felton. But anyway, so how good do I think Embiid... Put it this way. I think Embiid, if everything goes right and he's healthy and can play up to his potential, I think he's a little under Towns in terms of being a prospect. I think the dude is that good on defense. I think he's got the range to stretch the floor. Like Embiid, there's a reason he was going to go number one that year until he got hurt. That being said, you don't know what he's going to be like coming off injuries. You assume he's going to be slow. He still has never played an NBA game. I think that's fair to say. And I mean, how good do I think he'll be? I think if he's fully healthy, I think he'll be an instant difference maker. But I think, I mean, he's still, at the end of the day, it's basically still a rookie. So I think he's going to have those struggles as well. I think if everything goes right, he'd be like a Towns-esque prospect.
I just stay away from these questions now because he hasn't played. And this is like, it just makes me sad he hasn't played
the
yet.
The only reason I answered it this time around is because, like, he's been in Qatar and he's been doing more drills recently.
Yeah.
Like, kind of the way he was when he threw down that dunking vine where it, you know, genuinely seems like he's on the court and is a little bit away. But again, until Joel Embiid steps on
back.
Well, right. And until Joel Embiid steps on the court, you know, I'm not putting too much stock into him as part of the Sixers' future.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get really hot takey.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And that if Embiid does, in fact, have a long career, I think he's going to be great. That being said, I think next year, if he plays, he's going to be absolute garbage. You're talking about somebody that hasn't played professional basketball
2 years.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
The dude's going to be garbage next year.
I don't think he's going to be garbage. I think he's too naturally gifted if he's healthy to be
Dude,
garbage.
I don't.
I think he will struggle at times, absolutely.
You're playing against like professional NBA players, and I think you haven't played professional ball in 2 years. You aren't going to be good. If he does have a long career, I think he'll be great. But I think next year should not be any sort of measurement upon
what his career
can be.
Okay.
All right, final question comes from Andrew Morgan this week. Andrew asks, who or do you guys follow if you follow the NHL, and who do you think will win the Stanley Cup this year?
Oh, dude, definitely the Mighty Ducks.
The Ducks are actually in a game 7 tonight, so we'll know whether the
so
Ducks
you might be wrong
advance
already.
Or not. But no, the Ducks genuinely are like one of those teams that you thought could win the Cup this year, but
yeah,
I'm not going to give
sure.
you credit at all for that. So anyway, Justin.
I mean, I'm a Flyers fan, you know. That's going on.
Yeah, no, nobody can see this right now, but recording right behind me at my house is a huge Flyers banner. Like, they had an excellent season this year. Unfortunately, they're out. I'm not going to keep dragging this on, but I'm a huge Flyers fan, and if I'm making a Stanley Cup pick right now, I hope it's not the Penguins, but the Penguins are playing really hot. I could see them coming out of the East, and if I'm looking at the West, I mean, I want the Sharks because the Sharks have been kind of beat up the last few years, but I could see maybe the Blues or maybe the Ducks if they survive tonight,
yeah,
against
dude,
the Preds
all about
coming
the mighty
out.
Ducks, man.
All right, well, thank you everyone for your mailbag questions. As always, we appreciate it. We got a few that we didn't get to this week. We're gonna
there's one that I wish we got to. I was so ready to piss him off.
No, and the only reason I'm saving them is because they're like evergreen questions that we can, you know, kind of fill in and answer as we go. They're not going to get outdated or anything, so we will get to them, but in the meantime,
but I'm going to forget by then.
You won't forget. Don't throw your notes out. But thank you everyone for listening to the Drive and Dish NBA podcast. We really appreciate it. You can check out all of our episodes on our website, driveanddishpodcast.com. But otherwise, first we want to shout out the good folks at Blog Talk Radio for hosting the show, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, all sorts of other podcasting apps were probably there. Hopefully, we're going to be on Google soon. I think Android is about to launch, correct?
I mean, in theory, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Take a moment, and if you support the show, support our sponsors, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, put in the promo code DISH. You'll save $20 off your first purchase, and it lets the sponsor know that you support the show. Also, go to lootcrate.com. That's L-O-O-T, lootcrate.com/drive and dish. And if you do purchase one of those subscriptions right there, you get $3 off. It's pretty cool stuff. And if you forget the address on where to go to, we're going to post it up on our Facebook page.
Yep, and you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/driveanddish. You can follow us on Instagram, same place, and you can follow us on Twitter at Drive and Dish NBA.
I think we've done enough dancing for today, so why don't we dance Wednesday?
See you, Star Side.
Okay, well, I'm out of here.
Get in the hole!
Da-da-da-da-da. Hey! Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Hey!
Let's go while we're young!
All right, I think they get the point.